It's certainly good to see each of you here this day as we come together to serve our Lord and worship and to gain knowledge and strength in it. And I want us to think just a little bit about prophecies of the Old Testament. Now, we're getting into several of them from Isaac's study, and he's going through the book in the Old Testament. I think it's been a wonderful study for us as we are picking up prophecies that lead to the New Testament times and explain things that was going to happen, and yet the people did not really understand and know that. And so what I want us to do is think a minute as we look into Isaiah just a moment. Let's turn back to Isaiah. And I want us to go to the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, I want us to look at verse 6 and 7. Very good verse for us to think about. It says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." As we're looking there at just what we read, you wonder how the people of the first century could not come to an understanding of what was going to happen and what happened when Jesus came to this earth. And sadly, we see people today that will take a verse like that and try to apply it to something that's going to happen even further in the future. But what we're seeing is here, as a child is born, Jesus, and the government is upon his shoulders. And we see that he is the one that has the government, and he's sitting on the throne of David. He is king. And here we see, and upon the kingdom. And the kingdom, we understand, is the church. And here we see that he has ordered it and to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth even forever. You wonder how they could have each Sabbath day had this reading of the scriptures of the Old Testament and then did not understand it when it happened. Let's go a little further, if you don't mind. Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 9. In Ezekiel chapter 9, and let's look at verse 9. He said, "Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of person. And for they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. You know, they wonder about all these things, and they don't really come to a conclusion. Turn to Daniel a minute. Let's go to Daniel first to chapter 2. In chapter 2. And let's look at verse 44 and 45. It says, and in the day of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now notice that word kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron and brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Well, again, we see the kingdom he's speaking of. God, and the kingdom, of course, as we understand and as we come into the New Testament, that the church is the kingdom. And we'll look at some scriptures, but let's look one more here while we're in Daniel. Let's go to chapter 7. In chapter 7, let's look at the verse 13 and 14. It says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We have just prophecy after prophecy. And I know I could read more and more prophecies, but let's go into the New Testament a minute. And I want you to, as we go into the New Testament, let's look at the time that Jesus began to preach, and just before him as he come in and be started. Let's turn, if you would, to chapter 3 of Matthew. In chapter 3 of Matthew. Now, what we see in chapter 3 of Matthew, I want us to look at verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what we see from the John the Baptist preaching, one of the things that he is making inferences is that the kingdom is at hand. It's close by. It hasn't yet come, but it was close by. Keep your place here in Matthew, but I want you to back up to Luke as well. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. In chapter 16 of Luke, I want you to look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, the law was not, and the prophets were until John, that's John the Baptist, Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man passes into it. So what we see, John preached what the prophets had to say and the law, but there's a time after that, John, that they preach a little different. Now back to Matthew again. This time I want you to notice that in the last part of chapter 3 that we looked at a while ago, we find that Jesus came and was baptized in verse 13. And we see then in chapter 4, what we see is that Jesus begins preaching. And let's notice, well, let's look at verse 17 maybe. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it's close by. It's at hand. It's not quite yet. Notice in verse 23 of chapter 4. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing and all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. So we see John the Baptist preaching what was in the Old Testament concerning the kingdom, and it was at hand, very close by. Then we see Jesus as he goes forth preaching and teaching. He's teaching that the kingdom is here, close by, it's at hand. And then we might go to Mark chapter 9. And I know you've all studied this before, but it's good to remember and remind us. But let's go to chapter 9 of Mark. And let's notice what is said here in the first verse there of chapter 9. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Boy, get that just a minute. Think about what that scripture says. There were some of them standing right there that's going to see the kingdom come with power. So it's not just at hand, it's right here, it's almost happening. And some of these people are going to be alive when it does happen. And of course, we have scripture after scripture in Mark and Matthew and Luke and even John about the kingdom of God. It's at hand and it's close, and now then it's here at the time that there are some of them living here. Well, let's back up again in Matthew. Just for a moment, let's go to the 13th chapter. Chapter 13. And let's look at verse 24. In verse 24 it says, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now what we see here, Jesus is using parables And all these parables are speaking concerning the kingdom that was at hand. And in this chapter 13, he goes ahead and mentions some others. Look at verse 31. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Again, the kingdom of heaven. And this sowing is like the word, sowing the word, teaching the word. Look at verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And on again, 44, 45, 47, all used, speaking of the kingdom. And we see here what he is teaching about it. Now, you know, we might notice in chapter 16 of Matthew, let's just notice here. Let's start with a look at verse 14 first. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, I am, say ye that I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here again, he see him talk about the kingdom. And here, Peter is to go forth preaching and teaching. And we see the church as it will gain at that time. You know, we talk about the kingdom. And many people in our day and time read scriptures and they think the kingdom has not yet come. They're looking for a time when the kingdom is going to come again. Here we have the kingdom, and it's here, and we are to serve the Lord in it. We are to keep it and do His will. You know, let's turn over to just a moment to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, I know we looked at 16 a while ago, but let's go to chapter 17 a minute. In chapter 17, I want you to go down and let's look at verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Here we see the kingdom of God comes not by observation. It dwells in us. You know, turn over to 19. chapter 19. Look at verse 10 and 11. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said unto them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to wage reign over us. And it came to pass that when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had granted by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pounds hath gained 10 pounds. So we see here as he's talking about it. But all the time, what we're really seeing is the kingdom come when Jesus come. And that kingdom is a church, and it had its beginning in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, it had its beginning. And you know, we need to think about that. What he'd seen. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And what we see there, we notice the first part of it. Notice verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then they therefore came together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we see that happening in chapter 2. As the Holy Spirit come upon them, and as they preached and taught, and we find then what we see is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Some of them we read, but there are many others. And we see that what happens here is Peter is preaching and teaching, and he points up all these examples of David and all that was a part of the Old. And he comes right down. They want to know what to do. And if you notice, let's look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they wanted pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. The day that the first sermon was preached, there were 3,000 become Christians. And so the church grew from that point on. There's another point I'd like to make mention. I know my time's up. I want you to turn to the last chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 28. And I want to point up some things for you to look at. In verse 16 of Acts 28, and when we were come to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffering to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. On this occasion, what we find is the Apostle Paul, after he has preached all these years, he's finally wound up in Rome. And I might mention another fact there in that verse 16. It says, we. So Luke includes himself, and that's the last time he includes it. And what we see then, if you go on over in this chapter, look at verse 23. And when they had appointed his day, there came many to him into the lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from the morning till evening. Paul is using the law and the prophets. And what did it say there? He testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And then he goes on and tells about the prophets here in the end of that chapter in the book of Acts. What about you this morning? Are you in the kingdom of God, the church? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? If not, why not this morning? If you've drifted away and going into another direction, why not repent and come back to serving the Lord the way the Bible teaches? We are in His kingdom. His kingdom has been established. And it has been for 2,000 years. If we can be of any help, come while we stand and sing.